This is the Mickey Miles and More podcast, your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean, Chris Eliopoulos, and Mike Scopa.
Welcome home, Milers, and welcome back to another episode of Mickey Miles and More, a podcast where three friends talk about their passion for the Disney parks. I'm Chris Eliopoulos, and with me, as always, is the effervescent Dr. Michelle Scribner-McLean. Welcome, Michelle.
I'm bubbly.
Sure.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. Just want to say today was my first day back in the classroom, face-to-face, after 18 months since March. I don't know. Wow. I don't remember, but it all went well.
Good. Glad to hear it.
I was improving young minds.
As you should. As we try to improve the older minds out here in podcast land.
Is that a transition to our next guest?
I was going
to
say, speaking of the older, also with us is the equally effervescent and young as a spring day, Mike Scopa.
I wanted to be introduced as the non-effervescent Mike Scopa, but
that's not true.
That would be flat.
Flat. I'm not flat. I hope everybody survived Hurricane Ida. And
yeah.
Chris, you sent along some amazing photos of.
Yeah,
we got out running or something.
We got a bit of water in our area. Luckily,
isn't your state under like a state of emergency?
It got pretty bad. Like I said, I was telling Mike, I sent pictures over there and stuff. There were we had a lot of flooding in my area. My sons, who are down South Jersey, the town over from them got hit really bad with some tornadoes. There's pictures of houses you can probably see online, just literally ripped in half. Like it looks like a set piece from a movie. Like it's just the facade. It's like the front of the house is there and there's nothing behind it. But so I hope all those people are safe and wishing them a quick and speedy recovery from all of this. But on other notes, what we're going to do today on this episode, Michelle, Mike, and I are going to break this down into about four parts. So we're going to do four parts. Virtual queues, we're going to talk about the Skyliner, the cavalcades, and our favorite subject, the annual passes. So getting things started, Michelle, we're going to talk about the virtual queues, and one of those that started it all is the Rise of the Resistance. You were the one who taught me how to do this and all the little tricks. So why don't you explain what these virtual queues, especially the Rise of Resistance, is like?
I'd be happy to. It's really interesting, Chris. I taught you. I taught Mike how to do it. I was teaching another family member, and I realized somebody who doesn't know as much about Disney as you guys know, I realized how I really had to use my teaching skills to really break this down. Because it's many, many, many parts. So, first of all, you need a park ticket, right? You have to get a park ticket. You have to make sure you can't just say, "Hey, I want to go to studios today." And, you know, "Hey, I hear that star, I'm going to get in line and do that." Well, you can't just get in line. So you need a park ticket. That's number one. Number two, you need a reservation at that park. So you need a reservation at Hollywood Studios, and you're going to do that through My Disney Experience. Now, for me, some of the times when I had the reservation, it popped up. I got a little message from My Disney Experience saying, "You can sign up for the virtual queue tomorrow," and it would go on my watch too, but sometimes it didn't. So here's the thing you have to do, the two key times that you have to remember if you want to go on Rise of the Resistance is on the day of 7 a.m. and 1 a.m., 1 p.m. Okay, so I would set my alarm. I was on vacation. I usually wasn't getting up that early. I would set my alarm, open My Disney Experience, and go on to the, there's a little tile on there that says virtual queues. And by the way, I would look on this and find all this ahead of time. I wouldn't wait till 7 a.m. Your party, whoever is going to go on the ride, has to all be connected on My Disney Experience. So if the three of us wanted to go, we all needed to be connected on My Disney Experience ahead of this whole thing. So then what I did, one of my tricks, I had two tricks that I used that got me in, because we tried, it wasn't until the fifth time that I actually figured it out. So on my Apple Watch, what I did is I changed the face to so I could see the second hand. Actually, I haven't changed it, so I'm looking at it now. The second hand is going. So I could see exactly when it hits 7 a.m. It sounds like we're signing up for a Disney race when I talk about this. So I would get on the screen, and just as soon as it hit 7 a.m., do you know how you, when you're on your phone and you can pull down the screen to refresh it? Well, that's what I did. I pulled it down on the virtual queue screen, and right when it hit 7 a.m., I let it go, and I got in every time I did that. So it is tricky to do. If you wait till 7:00:05, you've lost it for that period. They're gone. So Chris, you tried that, and that worked for you, right?
Well, what's funny is the first time I didn't wake up in time for the 7 o'clock.
Wah, wah, wah.
But we went to the park, and I would tell you, I did the 1 o'clock. I did your advice. I set my watch to a second hand. We were actually on Star Tours. I was in the middle of, like, we were just coming to the end of Star Tours, and I'm literally like checking the seconds. I took my glasses off, and I refreshed exactly at 1 o'clock, and I got into the queue. So I basically was walking off the ride, confirming the appointment. And it was like one of those, if everybody else gets through things. I don't know what the number is. It always seems like it's like 116.
Yes.
And that's for anybody else that's left who hasn't gotten through,
right,
the ride
of the day.
So ours clicked off, and it probably will go into our Skyliner talk a little bit, but we were in Epcot at the moment that we got the alert that we were allowed to get on. And so we jumped on the Skyliner and got over to Hollywood Studios right about 8:40. Our appointment was good through 8:50, so we walked right up there and got in, and like we literally shared the ride with two other people, and that was it.
That's amazing.
It was amazing. My kids like were like, what's going on here? I'm like, do not expect this ever again. But we were able to do because of your trick, I was able to get on that day, we're using the 1 o'clock.
Thank you. I'm glad. So the second thing, as Chris talked about, is the 1 o'clock chance on that same day. So you missed 7 o'clock. You got up late like Chris. You were a slacker like Chris was on vacation. And you didn't get in, or you just missed it. You got there at 7:00:06 and you didn't get it. Well, it's not over for you for that day. So then you have to do the next chance, is you have to be in the park. So you have to be there, and the same thing is happening. And I think we might, I don't know if we mentioned this on the podcast before when we were just talking to each other beforehand, but you hear people going, it's really uncanny. Not if you're on Star Tours, that you wouldn't hear it, but so it's the same thing. And then unless you want to stay for another 8 hours, it'll tell you. So as soon as you get into the virtual queue, if you're lucky to do it, it'll tell you an approximate number of minutes that you have. So at 7 a.m., it was like in 200 minutes or 260 minutes. But the thing that we found doing this several times is that, at least for us, it was a lot sooner of a time. So we planned on being there, and that turned into like 11 o'clock or something like that. But if you keep on checking the queue, it'll notify you when it's ready. Your My Disney Experience, if you have your notifications on, it'll pop up on your watch. But it was always a lot sooner. So
yeah,
I'm talking like an hour, 45 minutes sooner. And then there's a window of time. So they'll say we're boarding groups 1 through 8, 1 through 12. And then, in a certain amount of time, it'll be 2 through 8, 2 through 12, the boarding group of one won't work anymore. And then when you get in, again, we heard so many people just standing around the front there saying, can I just line up and go in? Well, no, you can't. So what you do is with the Apple Watch, with my pass, I was able to just show my Apple Watch and they scan you in, and then you're on your way from there. Hmm. So that's the way it works. But I think, Mike, I feel like I got the trick, and I feel really sad for people who don't get a chance to do it. But you're thinking for the new Remy ride, the new, and some other the new attractions, that may be the way that it goes.
Yeah, I think that with a lot of things that are coming online, and we'll get to Genie sometime in one of these podcasts, I think that they are trying to do whatever they can to control the lines and stuff. And I think that we can expect future attractions like Ratatouille, Guardians of the Galaxy, and especially the Tron ride. And they're actually testing the Tron ride this week as three additional attractions, which I think are going to, down the line, when they get open, I think they're going to be part of the virtual queue process as well. And there may be some existing attractions that may be possible candidates for this. I'm thinking about the Three Mountains in the Magic Kingdom, Space Splash, and Big Thunder. In Epcot, of course, we're going to have Guardians of the Galaxy and Ratatouille. In the studios, I think that Slinky Dog may be a candidate, as well as Rise of the Resistance. Animal Kingdom, who knows, maybe Everest. But I think that the success...
The Avatar would be the one.
Yeah, Avatar possibly, Chris, yeah. The, quote, success of the virtual queues may cause Disney's theme park management team to think we need to use these virtual queues in conjunction with the Disney, with the Genie Plus down the road to control the lines.
I think the thing that makes me sad about this is that I feel like I'm very tech savvy. I work with a lot of really smart people who are not tech savvy at all. I mean, when I go into a meeting, I get stopped by like four or five people. How do I do this on my iPhone? How do I do this on my iPad? These are super smart people, and not everybody has technology, and not everybody knows how to use the technology. And, you know, say a family of, you know, a young family is really excited about taking their kids to go see this attraction. I don't know. It just makes me sad that it's relying so much on the technology. I think it's sort of discriminatory. So it makes me kind of sad.
I also think that this is just another way that they are peeling away the spontaneity of a Walt Disney World trip. You have to make a park reservation. Well, now you have to make an attraction reservation. I guess you could have made an argument that that's the way it worked with FastPass, but it didn't seem that way. Now it seems like it's more of a really hard and fast scheduled vacation. And I always thought that vacation should be free and away from schedules. We live with schedules every day in our lives.
It's
meetings
stressful.
And
it's
stuff like
was
that.
Was it stressful for you, Chris? Yeah. I mean, you're on an attraction doing it.
You know, I will say for this past trip, one of the, like, I know we were a bit down on the trip and stuff. The one positive, because there were so few people, we didn't have the fast passes. I you know, most times we could get into a ride, even some of the big ones, in half an hour. Like, we were on a half hour line. Sometimes they would go to like an hour and we would just avoid them. But and that was the best part of it, is like, it was like, oh, look at that. Space Mountain's only 30 minutes. Let's go. Like,
yeah.
I loved that part of it. Like, that was amazing to just go, oh man, you get off Space Mountain, you look over and, you know, Buzz is like only 15 minutes. And you're like, duh, let's go. And that is what, yeah, right, Mike, we're going to miss that. We're not going to have that just, right. Oh my God, this is exciting. Let's, you know, take a left-hand turn. But I also think, Mike,
yeah.
Do you really think they're going to use these virtual queues as much now with the Genie Plus and the Lightning Lane? Like, I think that's the key. I think they're going to change the Rise of the Resistance to Lightning Lane, and you're just going to have to pay for your time to go in there.
I think they want to. I think that they don't want to hear as many screams as they would if they did not have the virtual queues. So the virtual queues allows them to control the crowds, you might say, because they will allow only, I mean, each attraction can load only so many guests per hour. So they're trying to do whatever they can to make the experience of standing in line not as painful as it would be if they didn't do this. I think that the Genie Plus is a little bit different than the virtual queues. The virtual queues allows them to control what they're going to do as far as the crowd and the loading of the attractions. Genie Plus does not give them that ability, because what if the three of us said, hey, we're going to pay $15 to go on Rise of the Resistance, and all of a sudden they don't have control of how many people are going to be in the queue. So I think it's going to be very interesting to see how they work these things, because when you think about it, a virtual queue and Genie Plus is just like how they've tried to work in Standby and FastPass. And Michelle, you know that sometimes the cast members just don't know how to weave those two lines together. So it'll be interesting, Chris, to see how they weave the virtual queues and the Genie Plus
line. I'm just curious, what is your limit in standing for an attraction, standing in line? Minus 30 minutes.
It depends on the attraction. Like if it's Pirates and it's an hour, I'm like, no. But if it's Space Mountain, I might, or Splash Mountain, I might consider it depending on the day. But I mean, look,
And unfortunately for me, that meant that I didn't go on a lot of things. I've still never been on the Slinky ride.
Oh, really?
I didn't go on my favorite ride, Splash Mountain, this whole trip. I didn't go on Space Mountain. Wow. Didn't go on it because the line was so long. I mean, it was like,
it's so funny because our
like
first
2 hours, yeah,
our first 5 minutes in the park, not 5 minutes literally, but we literally got to the Magic Kingdom our first day and we hit all three mountains with it before 1 o'clock. We got in at 11, we were done with the three mountains by one. Maybe we just hit it at the right time, maybe, you know, whatever it was,
but I'd much rather just walk around and listen to the music, or I'm not going to spend an hour in line. Because of the number of times I go.
I will say that I think that's also a benefit to the virtual queue for Disney, is instead of standing online and not buying anything, you have guests who are now going off and buying a drink or something to eat, or they're going to a store and they're spending that time providing more money for the Disney machine. So I think that they'd be smart to keep doing virtual queues for their own sake. But switching over now. So one of the days I was on my trip, we went in the morning. We didn't check the times for some reason. My wife and I were trying to be spontaneous, and we decided we were going to go and walk around Epcot. And it was 9 o'clock in the morning, and we were halfway up there and realized the park didn't open until 11. So we took the Skyliner over to Riviera for breakfast. We got a coffee and a snack. And then we tried to go back across to get back there, and they wouldn't let us go until 10 o'clock, a little after 10 o'clock. Apparently there's, because they don't want people just lining up outside of the International Gateway, they keep everybody held up at Coronado Springs and Riviera and wherever else you're starting. And so we had to wait, and then there was a whole big backlog of people filling up every, I don't know what you call it, bucket of the Skyliner while we waited at Riviera. So it took a while for us to get back. And I understand that you guys had another issue with the Skyliner and backups, right, Mike?
Yeah, I think, Chris, that when these engineers and these theme park designers, when they think about certain ways of improving transportation, that is sort of a, quote, win-win situation for both the guests and the resort. They try to think of all the things that would happen. And I don't think you really know until you actually put things online. And like you just mentioned, you had that issue. Well, Michelle and I ran into an interesting issue, and I thought it would be something very, very important to tell everybody who has not been down there since the Skyliners have gone into operation. So let's think about the Skyliners and which resorts and stops the Skyliner stops in. It stops at the International Gateway. It stops at Caribbean Beach, actually between Caribbean Beach and Riviera, I believe. Is that it? And then it goes to the studios. Is that it? Or is there another stop? I'm trying to remember if there's another stop.
I know I was getting confused by all of the different lines. Like, so when I went from Epcot, it took me to Riviera and then over to what's it called?
Caribbean Beach.
Caribbean Beach.
Yeah. And then you have to switch.
Yeah, there's switches. Then you can do a switch to Hollywood Studios, but I think there's also a switch to go to Art of Animation, right?
Yep. Yep.
Oh, you're right. And if you go to Idaho Animation, you can then go to Pop.
Yeah, Pop too.
Right. Because
you can
right.
cross over the Generation Gap Bridge or whatever that's called. Right. So I mentioned that because let's now move to let's paint a picture. It's October 1st, and everybody and their brother they're all in Epcot, and they're all there to watch the debut of Harmonious. Okay, so one night Michelle and I were watching Epcot Forever. I think it was the only night we watched Epcot Forever. And we watched it from right in front of, it was right between Morocco and France. A little spot there, just watched it. And, I think it's 10 or 11, maybe 12 minutes long. And then we started walking towards International Gateway because we're at the beach club. So we're walking towards the exit and it was kind of crowded and we're getting to France and it started to get even more crowded. And those of you who have been at a Disney race know what it's like to walk to the corrals. And it was just like that. We're getting over the bridge that connects.
Or like after fireworks at Magic Kingdom or something, if we decide to
leave. Yeah, walking down Main Street, exactly. So we're getting over the bridge that connects France to the United Kingdom, and it's really crowded. And we're talking to each other, what's going on? Must be a lot of people just, going this way. We get down towards that store. That is the last store before you go out International Gateway. And everybody is being moved over to the right. And it wasn't until we just got to the turnstiles that Michelle and I looked at each other and said, oh, Skyliner. So think of it this way, Chris. Everybody who is staying at, let's say, Caribbean, Riviera, Pop Century,
Art of Animation,
Boardwalk, Yacht Club, Beach Club, Swan, we're talking 9 resorts. All those people are heading for that exit right after the fireworks, and that's what's going to happen October 1st.
They parked at Hollywood Studios?
The studios, yeah, exactly. So what you experienced, what you and Audra experienced that morning, a lot of people are going to experience that night. And we got back to the beach club, I would say maybe 10 or 15 minutes after the fireworks, and I have no idea how long the line was to...
Well, we know how long the line was. It was down to where the... people probably don't know this, but if you stay at the beach club, there's a quiet pool and there's a laundry building, and that's how far it was. So it was probably halfway towards Stormalong Bay.
Yeah, I would say it was within 100 yards of Stormalong Bay.
Yeah, in fact, we couldn't get through. There's like a little path to the beach club villas. Yeah. We had to ask people to move so we could get through. It was way past that.
And it might have been longer because
I think we actually marked it. It was like an eighth of a mile to where the, or maybe, yeah, it wasn't a quarter mile. It was like an eighth of a mile to where the Skyliners were. And it was moving quickly, but there was a cast member way, way, way back there. So you had to like drag. I think I even said, look at this. These poor families dragging the really tired kids out of International Gateway, way, way, way down towards Beach Club, only to walk back to the Skyliner to get on.
And that the cast members are bunching people in those little bubbles when the end of the day is, because they're not going to say, oh, okay, the two of you just want to ride by yourself. No, we're going to fit 8 of you in there. Yeah. We're going to fit 10 of you in there. So
I know we're talking about the Skyliner, but I think it's one of the reasons that I got a little, I wouldn't say freaked out, but very uneasy, because it was really like the type of thing where, when you're so bunched together and you're afraid you're going to lose your family and you're like holding onto their shirt or something or holding onto their hand. Yeah. That's the type of situation it was. That's how
the Haunted Mansion walk, right? If you get out of the stretching room.
Right. You're a little, like in a little funnel, right? And you're trying to like, let's go. So that's what it was like. It was unnerving, but I think it was moving quickly. It's just like, wow, I really realize the impact of the Skyliner now.
And God forbid it break down. Like when we were going to Rise of Resistance that night, we got stuck for about 10 minutes high in the air. And if you are scared of heights, as my wife is, it was not the most joyous of times. So can you imagine if that thing breaks down after the fireworks?
Or if there's lightning in the area.
True.
Close spaces. Yeah.
Yeah. Can you imagine, right? The lightning in the area, you don't get on the Skyliner, you don't get on the boats. Everybody's going to march all the way back. And how do you get back in to the parks to get all the way back to the buses? Like, right. It's, I don't know if they're thinking all of this through, but you know, it is what it is. But speaking of times and stuff like that, I know we all miss the parade. Well, you guys miss the parades. I've never really enjoyed the parades, but I'm a curmudgeonly. Nope, Michelle's with me. A curmudgeon like me. And what I didn't like most was like so many people would be waiting for those parades and you'd wait for 30, 40, 50, like an hour for a 15-minute parade. And they'd block up the streets and you'd have to walk around them and they tape up the road. But these days they've been doing these cavalcades, Mike. Tell me why you enjoy the cavalcades.
I think the cavalcades are nice because it's, I go way back. I mean, I go way back to Walt Disney World when it first opened.
To Marceline, Missouri.
And I remember how great it was to see spontaneous entertainment. You walk around, all of a sudden there's the All-American College Band, or you walk around Epcot and there's the jam it is, or you walk, you know, there was always entertainment, some singers, some musicians. So I think of the cavalcades as spontaneous entertainment, which is nice because number one, you're not waiting an hour. And number two, it's here and gone, you know, which is really good. However, having said that, I will say that when we get to the discussion for the Boobash party and the very merriest Christmas party, I'm going to tell everyone to beware of the cavalcades. We'll get into that. That's a little bit of a teaser. We'll get into that later.
Yeah, so I'm not especially Magic Kingdom. To me, it's like sitting in a gigantic frying pan for an hour to wait for a 15-minute event. And, you know, as a mom of, you know, formerly of two young boys, trying to entertain them with play with ice or, you know, like, here, play with your Buzz Lightyear. It just was not fun for me. I will say my favorite parade of all time is the Mickey's Not So Scary parade, just because of the Haunted Mansion. I guess they're butlers. I just love that. But these cavalcades just popped up, and it was really Shovel kind of fun. It was really kind of fun. The only critique I have that's negative is I probably saw the same one at least three or four times at the studios with the Incredibles, and I love the Incredibles, but it was like, oh, here they are again, the Incredibles. So, but I love the idea that they just pop up all the time and you don't have to stand out in the sun and it's over in 5 minutes, and it was a good time was had by all. What do you think, Chris?
I'm just hoping they maybe, as they're already doing with other things, they maybe learn a little lesson and they take a mix of both. So you see like a parade, and then you have some cavalcades coming through so that everybody is satisfied. Like, again, you were saying with little kids, sometimes sitting for an hour waiting is just too much to have the cavalcade come by and just like, okay, there's the parade. And like, you know, parents will lie to our kids. That was the big parade. And they go, yay, it was the best thing ever. And just, thank God, let's go off to the somewhere else. So, so speaking of lines, and I don't know how I'm going to segue into this one, so I'll just pretend. Recently, they just announced changes to the annual pass system and new pricing and new benefits, non-benefits, if you want. Michelle, do you have the new prices for those new annual passes?
I sure do, Chris. And let me just say that I don't mind paying any amount of this money because the names are so spiffy that it just makes me feel special. Just to have a pass that has a spiffy name. So pricing begins at $3.99 for the Disney Pixie Dust Pass. Who wouldn't want that? $6.99 for the Pirates Pass, $8.99 for the Sorcerer Pass, and it goes up to $12.99 for the Disney Incredipass, which of course it must be incredible because it's the Incredipass. That is the only pass, the last one, which is $12.99, that has no blackout date. And it's the only one available to anyone, including non-Florida residents and non-DVC members. So there are also mid-tier options for the Disney Pirate Pass and the Disney Sorcerer Pass. But you have to look to see what the blackout dates are, because there may be some dates that you want to go. So all of those include theme park parking, which, of course, is a lot. But this is a big thing on Twitter. I was following people who are really, people are really upset about the photo pass. I honestly, personally never use it myself. So, but people were really, really annoyed about that. And then water and park sports and Disney, photo pass downloads are going to be available for $99 extra, I guess. So that was a big topic of conversation on social media this week with, if you're on the Disney Park Holders Facebook page or you're following anybody on Twitter who talks about this. There's a lot of discussion. What do you guys think?
Well, before I let Mike open up a whole can of whoop, whatever, I will.
Whoop pass?
Whoop pass. Very good. Well done. Golf clap for the lady. I will say this. I think moving forward, I'm going to be the negative Nelly on this show. So just, you can start calling me Nelly, because I received this information and I went to my wife and, we've been annual pass holders for probably like maybe 10 years now, since the kids were little. And she was like, we're done. We're out. Like, this is it. We're sort of done with the annual passes. Two things happened. We decided that we were not going to be doing long trips anymore to Disney. We would sort of do these short bursts, and then we would just take some, get a package and go from there. But she was just like, well, with this kind of money, like basically spending for the four of us virtually $5,000 for annual passes that probably we're not going to use as much, especially since our kids are older. We never use the parking, but you lose the photo pass, you lose like the water parks. Like, they used to have an option, I guess. I guess it's all six or one half dozen of the other, but we just sort of, this was our opportunity to take the exit and walk off. So what's your feeling?
If you looked at the Disney Parks blog, in the comments, I don't know if they delete the comments, but the first comment and the only one for hours was by a guy named Richard who wrote, goodbye. Goodbye.
Yeah. A lot of this stuff, and we'll talk about the Genie Plus system in a later episode, but it really smacks of, let's lose more benefits and charge more money as we go. I know you guys have a DVC. Are you going to use the DVC pass, or are you going to go right for the Incredipass?
Well, complain, but I'm sure I'm going to get the Incredipass, because it'll pay off if we go as much as we go.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're with Mike. Mike, it's he could basically claim residence in Florida the amount of times he normally goes to Disney World and brings the storms with him.
All right, Michael.
Mike, go ahead, give it to us.
Spotlight's on you.
It down.
Well, first off, I'm not crazy about the different names, but I guess they didn't want to name them after the Fab Four, like Mickey, Minnie, Donald, and Goofy, because everyone would say, well, you just got a Goofy pass or whatever. One of the things that I noticed about these passes is that they're really catering to the Florida residents. The first two, the Pixie Dust and the Disney Pirate Pass, are available to only Florida residents. And that's interesting. There's also some...
The way that they did it, it's $19 a month for 12 months after a $205 down payment. It's like you're leasing a car. It's like the type of experience you'd have if you're leasing a car.
Yes, and it's a couple of interesting things. So you can make three park reservations at a time with the Disney Pixie Dust pass. Now you go up to the next tier, the $6.99, and it's four park reservations at a time. Then you get to the Florida residents and DVC members one, which is Disney Sorcerer Pass. And the reason why I like that one is that the only the only holiday period that I can see over the next 15 months that's blocked out is the last 2 weeks in December. So why pay an extra $400 when you're not going to be down there? So on that one, the Disney Sorcerer Pass, you can hold up to 5 reservations, okay? And there are blackouts. The one that Michelle mentioned, the Disney IncrediPass, that's $12.99, and you can hold up to 5 park reservations at a time. The only difference between that one, well, the difference between that one and the Sorcerer's Pass, besides being $400, is that you don't get to go to the parks the last two weeks of the year. I'm not sure if I would go with the IncrediPass. Right now I'm looking at the Disney Sorcerer's Pass. Okay, so perks for the annual passes. They are still giving us standard theme park parking. And they are, this is the thing that kind of gets me. They said savings in his, you have to read the words very carefully. Savings of up to 20% on dining, merchandise, and more. That doesn't mean 20% across the board like the tables in Wonderland. So you may get 20%. You may not get 20%. You may get 0%. I'm not sure if the savings with the annual passes are as consistently given as one would think. It also says that there's going to be access to bonus reservations. I don't know what that is. And customize your pass with different options, including Disney Photo Pass downloads of the water park and sports option, blah, 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 blah. So I'm not sure exactly how I feel about these things. I do think that a lot of us feel like one of those boxers that gets knocked down and we get up and we get knocked down again. We get up, we get knocked down with all these announcements of, you know, extra money for this, extra money for that. Oh, here's the Boo Bash. Boom. Get up. Oh, here's the Very Merriest. Boom. Oh, here's the annual pass. Boom. Oh, here's the Genie Plus. Boom. And I think a lot of people are getting tired. And I think that all this means is that you have to spend that much more time figuring out how you're going to, well, number one, if you are going to continue visiting a Disney theme park, if you can continue visiting Walt Disney World. And then you got to think about how you're going to afford this, how you're going to use whatever method, component you have, tools to make it affordable. In the past, you know, if you're a DVC member, if you're an annual pass holder, if you have tables in Wonderland, a lot of other things, then you can, you know, free dining. I don't even know if free dining is coming back. You know, you figured out a way to make it somewhat palatable, but they're making it very difficult. And I often wonder, what's the bottom line? What are they trying to do? What are they trying to achieve? Because if they're trying to achieve the fact that they're becoming an elite vacation destination, I think they're getting close.
They're trying to make up for the NBA experience closing down.
Oh my God.
Well, you know, that, it's, I was going to say
about that too. That's another story.
I was going to say, we've sort of buried the lead a little bit about some of this. You know, a number of years ago, when we had a gas shortage, airlines started charging extra for luggage because the weight would add more gasoline. And they would say it was just temporary until we get back. And we've noticed that that has not been removed. We still have to pay extra for our luggage to go on planes. Disney is basically telling us right now, in this time of the pandemic, when they're saying we need to keep people separated and we need to make sure there's, you know, each park doesn't get overfilled, we're going to make you reserve parks. And going back to what you said earlier, Mike, about no spontaneity, they're basically in this saying to us, we are now going to do reservations for parks from this time forward. Like, it's not going to end. They told us it was just for the pandemic, but now this annual pass system, they're calling it a benefit. You can get to, you know, pick out your parks. But here's the thing. Last year, 2 years ago, I got to go to whatever park I wanted to whenever I wanted to go.
Right.
And they're sort of saying, we're not going to do that anymore. You're going to have a park hopper. And I will say I did do 3 parks in one day. So there is that. But
I need to make a reservation, whatever, 60 days out. And that's going to be a new norm for the Disney parks.
I will say, Chris, that in another life when I was on another podcast, we
far away,
we talked about this extensively, and we actually came up with the math that would justify purchasing an annual pass. I do think that there is still some viability in purchasing an annual pass if you use it correctly. If you think about it, like Michelle said, the Incredible Pass is $12.99. I don't know what the tax is on that, so it's not $1,300. It's probably another $100 or so. But then you have to start thinking, okay, how many days am I going to go through the turnstiles? Number one, how many days am I going to stay at a resort that possibly I can get an annual pass discount? If you can figure that out, if you can come up with some way of justifying the cost, then maybe it's for you. When you think about it, it's $125 per day per park. And we know that that's probably going to go up. They haven't announced that yet, but I have a feeling that that's going to happen sometime in the next 3 to 6 months. I think that that 125 is going to go up to maybe 130, 135. So
yeah, but Mike,
you got to think about that.
You can think about it, but if you think of somebody like Chris, are you going to do 4 times 1,300?
Well, that was the question I was going to have for you as well. Is the Sorcerer Pass is for DVC members and non-Florida residents? Is that the case? But they have blackout dates. Is that the difference between the Incredipass and the Sorcerer's Pass?
The Sorcerer's Pass has, and I have it right here. The Sorcerer's...
yeah, we didn't mention that's for DVC.
Sorcerer's Pass is available to Florida residents and Disney Vacation Club members only.
Oh, so okay, the only pass that's available to me, since I'm not a Florida resident or DVC, is the Incredipass. Like, right. I'm limited to that. So right. Automatically, I'm going to the $12.99 plus. If my kids want to go to the water park or if we want to go to a golf course, we're now talking more money.
$5,200 before you even...
So we're already set.
Before you even walk into your hotel room. Yeah, that's $5,000 right there. So
before you eat anything, before you fly down there.
So yeah, we should do this at one episode, Mike. We should sit down and just do, like, for me, right? I get the annual pass, it's $5,000. I get my plane tickets to and from, I'll be generous and say $2,000 for the four of us. I like to stay at the yacht club. I'm going to stay, if I stay there a week, it's going to be, I don't know, Michelle, $600 a night times seven.
You're talking close to
$200.
Yeah. You're talking about a $20,000 vacation.
For a week. Now,
for a week, maybe $15,000.
Right. But so that $15,000, right? Couldn't I just go to London? Couldn't I go to Spain? Couldn't I go to Italy for that? Like, I could do, I could literally go to the places at Epcot for real, probably for that cost. And so that's kind of the issue. Look, I'm lucky. I do very well. And it just smacks me though wrong that you're spending that much for such a small amount. And it feels like it's, not worth it. I my wife and I have sort of come to that, but we're also, you know, we used to go with the kids and that was our experience with the kids, and they're older now and I think they want to see other things and my wife wants to see other things, and maybe that's not our big trip, and we go down for 2 days, and I don't need an annual pass to go down for maybe a total of 6 days over the whole year, right?
Well, you know, the thing is, Chris, that if you continue to...
By the way, I think it's 6.5% tax, so that would be about $85 a person for that.
Oh, I'd add $100.
That $1,300 pass.
If you are continuing to run Disney events, plus your annual, like, one- or two-week trip, then it's a different story altogether. If you're doing, you know, wine and dine... food and wine, or whatever they call it. If you're doing the princess half, if you're doing the Walt Disney World marathon weekend,
Star Wars,
that's three plus the other. Yeah. So I mean, let's say you go 3 or 4 times a year and you go a week, then it probably pays for itself.
But one of the things we didn't talk about, you kind of alluded to it, is that, you know, maybe 20% discount on merchandise, and maybe 20%. We figured out, Mike, what we now. First of all, when you go there and you're at Disney Springs, where we spend a lot of time, or any Disney restaurant, it was varied about what we pulled out all the three cards. We have the annual pass. We have the Disney Vacation Club. We have the Tables of Wonderland, which of course is going away. And different places, it's we didn't gone. Know what we were going to get. Like, we didn't know. So we tried all of them. Some places offered nothing, and most places offered something. But so you get this 20% off with one of these passes. And Mike, you figured
out. Up to 20%.
Mike, you figured out how much we stay. Well, you saved. Well, you saved just with your Tables of Wonderland.
We purchased the Tables of Wonderland card in March of 2020. And so that March 2020 trip, plus the trip we took this summer, the savings was
just for you.
Just for me. The savings was four times what the cost of the card was. So if the card cost $100, then I saved $500. If it cost $150, I saved $600. So,
but you were there for half a year.
Well, the point that we're making, Chris, is that we made use of those discounts. And by the same token, anybody who's listening who is considering an annual pass should talk to their vacation planner and say, look, I'm always going to be on the lookout for an annual pass discount. And for the most part, it's 20, 30, or 40% off the rack rates for these rooms. And, you know, it adds up. For instance, Chris, in your case, let's say you were going, and the time of the year that you go is usually right around the time when you could possibly see an annual pass discount. If they took 20% off your room, you know, think of what that would be over the course of 10 days. You know, you're mm-hmm. saving a lot of money. And let's say
it's 2 days free.
Yeah, that's 2 days free. Exactly.
Well, so you want to hear something funny? I'll tell you right before you go. So mm-hmm. on this trip, we had booked a regular room at the beach, at the yacht, and we got an annual pass special for a water view room. And if we took the water view room, it would have been, I think it was a total of $25 less than if we just did the regular room. For the whole trip. Like, that's how, like, it was just some weird little number, and it was like, oh wow, okay. And that was, I mean, look, I was grateful, you know, that I got something off, but
you got the cherry picker view.
Not for long. We changed that room quick.
But that was a bigger discount.
Well, the point that I was trying to make is that if you can figure out a way to make this annual pass work for you, then it may be, you know, the thing for you. The other thing is that
if you're a Florida resident going to Disney Springs for dinner a lot, absolutely, it would work for you.
Now, let's use one other kind of a possible scenario. Let's say only you bought the pass, and Audra and the boys just got the regular park hopper pass. Okay, so, and let's say you were staying for, I don't know, 7 days. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but let's say each one of their passes was about $600 or $700, okay, instead of the $1,299. But you, having the annual pass, can make that resort reservation and save on the room. So that's another thing.
Everywhere you eat, you still get the discount.
Yeah, so that's another thing. Right, yeah. Not everybody in the family needs an annual pass, but if the head of the family, whoever that is running the show, That person can, you know, get the discount on the room. And at the same time, the remaining members don't have to
get the free parking. You get the,
having right. said that, the biggest thorn in my side with this, Disney, if you're listening, is that several years ago, it really ticked me off when they got rid of, they used to have adult, they used to have juvenile, and they used to have children tiers. Now it's everybody. So my 8-year-old granddaughter has to pay $12.99 for the same pass that Michelle or I would buy. That's ridiculous. They should have children's prices, and I don't know why they don't. And I'm calling Disney out on that and saying, you know, you're a money grabber because, you know, it's basically the children that you're trying to hook. It's the 7-year-olds that you're trying to hook. And I don't think this is the way to do it.
Okay. Well,
off my high horse.
Okay. Well, on that, let's end on that positive note and say we're out of time for this one.
But I'm going to buy an annual pass.
But you guys are going to get your annual passes, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think as I lose my microphone,
shocked him.
I shocked me. I'm like,
falling over.
My whole microphone fell. As of this point, my wife is like, we're done. I mean, like we're up, we're down through August. We have our annual pass through August of next year. So, we still have a chance to keep it up and see what happens. But, now her thought is no, but I did want to say coming up, on our next Mickey Miles and More podcast, we're going to talk a bit more about the Genie Plus system. We're going to talk about the Boo Bash Halloween and what the reviews are saying, the Very Merry Christmas Party. And I definitely want to get Mike's take on if you'd pay for it or not. And we're also going to talk about the upcoming Run Disney events. It's going to be interesting, especially considering how the numbers in Florida are looking, and November is coming up very quickly for the Wine and Dine, and then we have to go right into the January races, and Michelle and I are already training. So, but that's going to wrap it up for this episode of Mickey Miles and More. If you want to continue this conversation, join us on our Facebook page at Mickey Miles Podcast, or on Twitter at Mickey Miles Pod. For Dr. Michelle Scribner-McLean, the effervescent Mike Scopa, I'm Chris Eliopoulos. We'll see you on the road, in the parks, and welcome home, everybody.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.